from Vermont Public Radio. This is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, May 7th. Today on the podcast, how Governor Phil Scott's thrice-weekly press conferences during COVID-19 have changed the way his administration interacts with the press.
It gives us access and obviously, through us, access for our readers that we wouldn't have normally had.
First, today's headlines.
Governor Scott has some good news for golfers, skaters, mountain bikers, and people who want to get together with a few friends. He's relaxing a bunch of social distancing rules. The biggest change is that gatherings of up to 10 people are now allowed. Preferably, they should be outdoors. And Scott still wants people to wear masks and stay 6 feet away from each other.
And the state is allowing more kinds of outdoor recreation. Skate parks, ball fields, mountain biking facilities, trail networks, and golf courses can open today. But game wardens are going to be keeping an eye on popular trails, and they could shut them down if too many people start using them. And those over 65, as well as people with pre-existing conditions, are still urged to stay at home.
The news is not so encouraging for people who want to come to Vermont from out of state. The governor is concerned about the high case numbers in neighboring states, and he's said point blank he does not want to see out-of-state visitors just yet. Anyone who does come here is asked to quarantine for 14 days.
My message is to stay home if you can and not come to Vermont at this point in time.
Meanwhile, Vermont hasn't had very many new cases of COVID-19 lately. The health department reported just 2 new confirmed cases yesterday, and for the 4th day in a row, no one with the disease died. The state is also starting to provide an estimate of how many people have recovered from COVID-19. So far, the state estimates that 706 people have tested positive and recovered.
And the health department has some other good news. They've just released data showing that opioid-related deaths dropped last year for the first time in 5 years. There were 111 deaths involving opioids in 2019, and that's a 15% drop from the year before. The synthetic drug fentanyl continues to play a large part in opioid-related deaths. It was a factor in nearly 90% of the deaths last year. Fatalities involving heroin have steadily decreased.
Oh, and that news about Governor Scott relaxing restrictions, he announced it at a press conference. Since the pandemic started to get serious in Vermont, the soft-spoken governor has held 3 press conferences a week. For up to 2 hours at a time, Scott and his team field dozens of questions from reporters all over Vermont. As John Dillon reports, in addition to managing an unprecedented health and economic crisis, Scott has become Vermont's communicator-in-chief.
Vermont's governors have traditionally held weekly news conferences, but those were often in Montpelier, lasted only a half hour or so, and were covered by just the State House press corps. The COVID crisis has changed everything, including these weekly free-for-alls between journalists and the executive branch. Here's Scott on Monday.
I know we have a number of people on the line. I think it's a record today. I think there's 26 reporters calling in, so we probably should get right to it.
Like everything else in the COVID world, most of the reporters now are physically distant, separated by a cell signal or a phone line from the newsmakers of the day. Finding the unmute button seems to be a challenge for these seasoned professionals. So sometimes the most frequent question for the state's top elected officer is...
Yes, hi there, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
What usually follows are updates from the governor on his emergency orders, plus the latest from Health Commissioner Mark Levine and other cabinet members on COVID cases and the state's response. And as unemployment has skyrocketed and thousands of frustrated Vermonters have waited on hold to file a claim, Scott can be seen managing the crisis in real time.
We're hearing a lot of reports from people up here in Orleans County who are having difficulty filing the unemployment claims both online and on the phone. And I'm just wondering if somebody there can address that. Thanks.
Yeah, that is a very real problem for too many Vermonters, and we recognize that.
Scott often turns to Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington, the man in the hot seat as the state tries to ease the huge backlog in claims. But he also doesn't shy from taking personal responsibility.
I would also like to add that these aren't excuses. They're just reasons. We know. We need to do better. We're looking for every opportunity to do that.
Unlike gubernatorial news conferences in pre-COVID public life, these marathon sessions feature reporters from smaller outlets like the County Courier in Enosburg Falls, the Barton Chronicle, or the Bennington Banner. They often bring uniquely local questions and concerns. What about high school graduation ceremonies? what's happening with driver's ed programs, and frequently, how many COVID-19 cases are in my community.
And the Islander continues to get inquiries from readers, not only in the islands, but readers in Colchester, Milton, into Franklin County. They want to know about their individual towns.
Mike Donahue, a veteran journalist and former reporter for the Burlington Free Press, now works for the Islander Weekly newspaper in Grand Isle County.
Well, Vermonters want to know if anybody in their town has it. Local, local, local. They want to know about the tests in their town.
Governor Scott's go-to medical expert, Health Commissioner Levine, is always at the news conferences, and he dispenses with parochial questions like this in a clinical and unsentimental tone.
I would think that any Vermonter, no matter what town they live in, would be foolish to think there was a case in their town.
But after Donahue kept pressing, the health department produced a map that tracks COVID numbers town by town instead of just by county. Wilson Ring, Associated Press correspondent in Montpelier, has covered state government for decades. He says these are unprecedented times for both reporters and state officials.
I've been quite impressed how the governor and all the assembled experts he has are willing to spend 2 hours talking to the reporters, answering follow-up questions, and basically letting the reporters have as much time with them as they want.
Greg Lamori is editor, publisher, and chief correspondent for the County Courier in Enosburg Falls. He says the briefings allow him to ask the governor what he's hearing from his readers in Franklin County. There are often questions that Montpelier-based journalists may not think of.
For instance, last week, we were asking the governor about some perspectives of local farmers.
The farmers wanted to know why, if there was such a glut of milk that they were forced to dump it, local stores had at the same time restricted milk sales.
Having the call-in now, you know, 3 times a week, it gives us access and obviously through us access for our readers that we wouldn't have normally had.
Many governors around the country are holding similar briefings, but often not as frequently as Scott. Tracy Griffith is assistant professor of journalism at St. Michael's College. She says Scott's briefings, which are carried live on WCAX and VPR, offers Vermonters direct, unfiltered insight into the governor's response to the crisis.
You're not socializing, you're not interacting with many people outside of your immediate family. And so, you know, these news conferences have kind of been the way in which people are getting access to accurate information and finding out what's happening right there in their own communities. And that's significant. That's important.
Griffith gives Scott high marks for transparency and talking directly to Vermonters. But she says the normal dynamic between a probing press corps and a government that tries to hold accountable has shifted.
There are definitely some situations where maybe the information isn't entirely forthcoming or it's manipulated in some way, you know, the numbers, the testing, the et cetera. And so, you know, it's up to the members of the media to kind of dig.
Scott's press secretary, Rebecca Kelly, says the briefings will continue on their 3 times a week schedule for as long as the governor and his staff think they are necessary. For VPR News, I'm John Dillon.
So, like we talked about earlier, Vermont's new case numbers have remained fairly low the past few weeks, but our neighboring states and the province of Quebec, they've seen higher rates of the disease. Every state is taking a slightly different approach to reopening their economies, and the virus has hit each region to varying degrees. And Henry, you've been checking in on our neighbors, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been calling up reporters in each state and province that borders Vermont this week. And so we're going to hear some of those conversations here on the podcast, starting with New Hampshire. The Granite State has about twice the population of Vermont. But on Tuesday, for example, Anna, it reported 10 times as many new cases as Vermont did. So there were 5 new cases in Vermont on Tuesday and 50 in New Hampshire. I spoke to NHPR reporter Jason Moon, and I asked whether New Hampshire's curve is flattening.
I think it's safe to say it's flattened out. Whether or not it is in decline is actually a bit of a debate at this point. So Governor Sununu here has indicated that he believes that there's been enough of a decline to begin reopening some sectors of the economy. He points to a decline in the percentage of positive test results coming back. That decline, though, if you look at the numbers, it hasn't been consistent over a two-week period, which is what the federal guidelines are for states to begin reopening the economy. And in some other indicators, like current hospitalizations, that's actually going in the wrong direction. So those are actually ticking upwards, although there are still thousands of unused available hospital beds in New Hampshire at the moment. So there's lots of capacity left on that front.
Okay. Well, before we go to the reopening, I just want to touch again on the healthcare system. I mean, it sounds like there's been enough capacity. Hospitals have not gotten overrun with right. COVID-19 cases.
That's right. Yeah. That was a really big focus of the state in the early days of this was making sure there was enough capacity. So, you know, recommending that hospitals postpone elective procedures. They set up, I believe it was 14 or 15 overflow sites. So far, that has all turned out to have been not necessary. As part of the governor's steps to reopen the economy, one of the first things that he's allowing hospitals to do is to begin to do some of those elective procedures that had been postponed.
Well, let's talk more about that reopening. I understand certain businesses can open again on May 11th. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, May 11th, it begins with golf courses, retail stores, hair salons, all with sort of specific restrictions for those industries. May 18th, restaurants can begin to serve customers at outdoor tables, again, with limits on how many people can be at a table, distance between tables, that sort of thing. The question with a lot of this stuff is going to be enforcement. You know, we've seen a couple of, you know, protests at the State House where large crowds have gathered in protest of the restrictions, clearly violating the, you know, 10-person gathering, and those went unchallenged by local authorities. So going forward with lots of individual businesses beginning to do things, it's going to be a real question as to whether or not any of this is going to be enforceable.
And just finally, Jason, what's been the reaction to some of these moves to reopen the economy? Are people on board with it, or has there been any pushback?
I think it's been mixed. I mean, obviously, a lot of businesses are happy to be able to begin making some money after what's been an incredibly difficult period for them. You know, I think folks like golf course owners have been among the more vocal in terms of making an argument for why they should be able to be open. You know, the hair salon issue is an interesting one. The governor was being lobbied by hair salons to be reopened, but another group of hair salon owners said that this was irresponsible. So it's really kind of at a store-by-store, business-by-business level, people deciding whether or not they agree with this.
Jason Moon is a reporter with New Hampshire Public Radio. Jason, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, the Eye on the Sky forecast for today, variable clouds with highs in the 50s.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. If you have a question about something you heard or want to tell us what you think of the show, you can now email us. Our email address is thefrequency@vpr.org.
This episode featured reporting from John Dillon, Liam Elder Connors, Sam Gale Rosen, and Elodie Reed. Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions, and our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow. Are you a cat person or a dog person?
I think I'm a dog person. The house next door to us growing up had like dozens of cats at one point, and they would come into our yard, and my dad gardens a lot. And my memory is we were sort of encouraged to like spray these cats with a hose.
Yeah, that makes sense.
to get them away.
Yeah.
That's like where I started with cats.